And we had an amazing time. This church is blessed to have amazing youth pastors in Blaine and Michelle, and you guys have got amazing young people. And we had a blast being here. We're just so glad. That's right. I want to take just a moment. I want to introduce my wife, Julie. Blaine mentioned some memories. We go back a long ways, all the way back to Bible college, and it's kind of interesting. A lot of my kind of significant moments in life kind of interweave with or interwoven with Blaine and Michelle, and coming back and visiting and being here, we haven't actually physically seen each other in about 20 years, 18 years, something like that. And so, you know, we've kept in touch, we've written, we've talked on the phone, of course, Facebook. Everyone, we love Facebook and keeping track that way. But coming back and catching up and reconnecting, and I realize a lot of significant interactions directly relate with these guys. And, you know, one of them, years ago, we came here for a missions trip, a spring impact trip, they called it, from CBC. And we came here back, Pastor Duncan, you still had hair. And it was dark. Is it okay if I walk off of there? All right. And I saw you the other day when we came here by the church, and we went back, and these guys pulled out an old picture album, and I went, that's what he looked like. I remember all that hair. But we came here for a spring impact trip, and I'd only been saved like a year and a half at that time. And for me, it was my first significant time in ministry. And it was actually, you don't know this, but it was my actual first time to really preach. Was here 20-some years ago at this church. And so that's one of those, you know, those things in your faith walk, you can take a pin and kind of stick it there in the history line. It was one of those for me. Another thing that happened here connected with this church and the ministry here was actually at Dan and Carol's house. I think we stayed there. Did I sleep there at that house at that time? And we had a whole bunch of us college students here, and we were here ministering. We did stuff. We went on the streets. We did goofy skits. We did all kinds of stuff with the teenagers. We even went to like something at the courthouse, right, the state house, about abortion and some law that was gone. We did all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the trip, we went over to Dan and Carol's, and we had some of Carol's amazing food. Those brownies yesterday, by the way. That's all I can say. There's an anointing there. And so we were over there hanging out, whatever, and we were down in the basement. My wife, she wasn't my wife then, she was not even my girlfriend, but that is, we were down in the basement, and we had kind of been, you know, on a spiritual trip. I was spiritually attracted to her, and we were sitting down in the basement by ourselves. I got down on one knee, and my wife's freaking out. She's like, I heard about these CBC guys. And I got down on one knee and I said, hey, would you consider being my girlfriend? And she said, yes. It all started right here. And it stuck. We've been married 20 years this last summer. So this being back here this weekend has really been neat for me and to be able to share some of these stories with my sons. And so I want to say thank you for letting me come. And one of my most vivid memories, Blaine, of you and I, Blaine and I had this desire to be real rugged outdoorsmen. Oh, yes, sir. And we would go to Army surplus stores and buy stuff and walk around. We would go on drives, trips together, and we would read Lewis L'Amour Western books together. Like, whoever was driving, the other one had to read the book. You're going, that's weird. We thought it was cool. Like, oh, that's right. I'm a tough Western outdoor guy. So, one year, during, it was winter break, it was the Christmas season, and we decided we were gonna go camping together. We weren't gonna bring camping gear. We were just gonna bring what we could carry in our little possible pouch bag, and we were gonna survive in the wilderness with just what we could carry in that little bag. We got in the car and we drove for hours, way out in the middle. I don't know how far it was, but it felt like forever. I mean, it's 20 years ago. It was just days and days of driving. We got out into the Ozark Mountains, way back in some little holler somewhere. You gotta say that when you talk about the Ozark Mountains. Holler, the little holler. We got way out there and we built ourselves a little lean-to thingy. And here's the thing, it's January. Yeah. And on the drive, we didn't bring sleeping bags. What were we thinking? And we got out there and we built a little shelter and we got all the wood. We got out our, I don't know, did we use matches? We did something. We started with the wood. It had been raining in January. Everything was soaking wet and we spent the next 2 hours trying to get that fire going, and like, we're shaking, we're turning blue, we're freezing, and we're like, oh, we even took, what was it, what were we in the car, and we dug out and we found, what was it we tried to get it going? Brake fluid! We didn't have anything else, we poured brake fluid! I'll tell you what, if you're ever in a survival situation, brake fluid doesn't work. It was freezing rain. It was so cold. We ended up huddled together in the back seat of the car with the heater going all night long. We weren't too manly that night, were we? Next night. Good times. Good times. Well, I appreciate being here today. Pastor, thank you for letting me share this morning. And I want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. And that's where we're going to kind of camp this morning, in John chapter 11. And as you're turning there, I want to relate a story that I had heard one time that kind of set us up this morning. There was a young pastor who just started out the very first time in a small rural church. Maybe for you, Pastor Doug, when you first started here. I remember the church building that was downtown, and maybe this was you, your green young pastor just starting out. And anyway, he gets there, and he's only been there a few days, and he finds out that somebody who was related to somebody who was related to somebody in the church, you know, had passed away, and he was supposed to do the funeral. He wasn't asked to do the funeral. He was just like, you're doing the funeral, you know. And the pastor's like, absolutely, I'll be there. And so he puts together, you know, it's one of his first opportunities to minister publicly, and he doesn't know there could be tons of people there. And so he's really working hard on putting this funeral message together, and he gets directions to the church, or to the funeral. It was going to be out in a cemetery. And he gets these directions. And it's directions like only rural people can give. You know, you want to take the first dirt road as you're going out of town. You want to turn right. And you're going to go, you know, well, once you go past that second red barn, you're going to turn at that tree with the funny crook in it. And, you know, you're going to turn left there. And you're going to go down past the creek. And, you know, because country people, now, I can say this because I is country people, okay? I grew up in a town smaller than Meriden, and so, but it was in northern Michigan. And so anyway, this guy gets way out there, way, way out there, and finally he comes and he sees there's the cemetery, and he gets there, but when he pulls up, there's no cars or anything there, and he sees the what he thinks is the vault. Okay, and out there, there's this little church next to the cemetery, and there's the vault is over there, what would be where they're going to lay to rest this person, and he figures he's missed it. He's too late. He didn't get there in time for the funeral, and everybody's gone, but you know what? By golly, he's prayed over this message, and he is going to preach it. And this person who's passed away deserves it, right? And so he gets out of his car, and he walks up to what he thinks is where the body's going to be laid to rest, and there's the concrete vault that's going to go down in the ground, and he stands there, and there's a couple of workers over here, and he, you know, he just assumes those are the guys that are, you know, finish up, and people have gone. And he steps up to the head of that vault, and he just begins to preach his guts out, and he's preaching, and he's, Lord, hallelujah, and you know, he's just going. This person who's passed away deserves that. And after about 20 minutes of just reading the scripture over him and preaching and praying and in Jesus' name, amen. This young pastor feels like he's done his job. He walks over, gets in his car and drives away. And the two old boys sitting over there who've been kind of watching and waiting, the one looks at the other and goes, man, that was a great sermon. The other guy says, that was. I've never, ever, ever, ever in my whole life seen somebody who could preach a sermon like that over a septic tank. That has nothing to do with my sermon today. I just like that story. No, it does. It ties in. Here's we're preachers. I can tie this in this morning. This morning we're talking about graves. We're talking about graves. Not just any graves, but we're talking about one in particular, the story in the book of John. And that is the grave of Lazarus. We're going to talk about Lazarus this morning, and I hope before the morning's over, we're going to find freedom in our lives as we look at the story. John chapter 11, verse 38. And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Let me lay the foundation without reading everything. Okay, Jesus is in one city, and he gets a message that his friend Lazarus, he was a good friend, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they were good, they were almost family, they were so close. He gets a message that Lazarus is sick. Asking him, basically sending the message, hey, Lazarus is sick and we know that you can heal, we've seen you heal, we believe in your power, you are the Son of God, you're the Messiah, would you come, would you just be here and take care, heal Lazarus. But rather than responding and going right away, he waits. And as you read the story, he waits too long. Lazarus passes away. He dies. So at a given time, a little further down, he gets his disciples together and they go to this town and they get there, but it's too late. Lazarus has already been, he's dead. He's been prepared. He's been put in the tomb. And we pick up here in verse 38. And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Then they came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of those who are standing here, so they will believe that you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Father, I come before you right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the opportunity to be here with Lord family this morning. We're all the family of God. And so I feel at home. And Lord, I thank you that this morning that you've ordained this time and this place, this moment to speak to us. And this morning as we look at this story, God, I pray that, Lord, that just like Lazarus was brought from death to life, that, Lord God, life will be let loose in this room this morning. Lord, he went from darkness to light. He went from bondage, Father God, to freedom. I pray for freedom today in Jesus' name. The title of my message this morning is Grave Clothes. Because as I was praying and preparing to be here this weekend, and you know, we spent time with the young people having fun and being crazy, and the Lord laid on my heart a message for you guys, the whole congregation. And he brought me to this passage and I began to read it. And the thing that he brought kind of, you ever read scripture and you're reading along and it's like da 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 da, and you're reading, all of a sudden it's like boom. That one thing just, ooh, it's like a flashlight from heaven just shines down and you hear the angel's voice says, and that's it. That's what you're supposed to know. That's what you're supposed to see and you're supposed to realize. And I believe this morning what the Lord has laid on my heart for us this morning, for this congregation at this time, that what the Lord is, the angels are going, it's this right here. Take the grave clothes off him. Set him free from the grave clothes. Lazarus is a picture of a person moving from death to life. From bondage to freedom. Removing the grave clothes was removing the connection with death. Removing what kept him bound. Removing what kept him from functioning, truly functioning in life. What has gotten a hold of me is preparing to be here in verse 44 when Lazarus is resurrected and Jesus says, come forth. And then he says, take off the grave clothes. And let him go. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. And I believe this morning that the voice of the Lord is vibrating throughout history, and this morning He's speaking again to us, and He's saying, take off the grave clothes and find freedom. Now see, historically, what would happen when a person would pass away, in the Jewish culture, they would take that body, and they would prepare that body, and they would take these different herbs, and they'd put around them all this sweet-smelling stuff, and they would wrap them up in strips of white linen. Almost like you get a picture of a mummy, not like the old Halloween, not like that, but you kind of get that body wrapped up in the cloth, and then they would take a large, basically like a handkerchief, and they'd put it over his face and head, and they'd have it tied down, and then they'd put them in the tomb, they'd, you know, close it up, but that body was prepared that way. So that's what Mary and Martha did. When Lazarus passed away, they, in the Jewish culture, they took him, and according to tradition, they prepared the body that way, they put him in the tomb. So I want you to understand, when Jesus comes along, and when he comes up, he says, okay, roll the stone out of the way. And people, I mean, okay, you read the scripture, and then, you know, I read it, and then I'm just kind of weird. And I kind of have my own little interpretation on things, you know. When Jesus says, roll the stone away, and the Bible, Martha says, oh, you know, there would be a great stinketh in the King James. You know, we don't want to do that. And I could just picture her going, say, what? He's been in there for 4 days. Surely he stinketh. They're like, are you kidding me, Jesus? This is about, why weren't you here 4 days ago? Why didn't you save him? Why didn't you heal him? But they obey him, and when they, now understand, they roll this thing away, and Jesus calls in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Do you remember the old Carmen song? Anyone remember Carmen? There we go. All right. You young people, you don't have music like what we had when we, anyway. I wish I could sing like him. I'd sing it, but y'all don't want that. So he calls, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes out of that grave. I mean, he's all bound up. He's wrapped up in these strips of cloth. He's got a big thing over him. Could you imagine being there that day? The people, they were spectators there. There were people who came just to see what Jesus was going to do. They were there to comfort Mary and Martha, but they didn't really know a lot about Jesus. And when they saw him, you can read the story, and they're like, they wanted, what is he going to do? Jesus comes to the grave, he says, roll the stone away. Surely he stinketh, Lord. Just do it. Okay, roll it away. Lazarus, come forth. What would you do? Seriously. What would you do? I'd be like, ah! It'd be overwhelming. It'd be freaky. Can I say freaky in your church? All right. It would be freaky. It'd be... And there comes Lazarus. He's just hopping along. Coming out of that... Oh, God, somebody help my face! Somebody help me! Lazarus doesn't know what's going on. He fell asleep. He woke up. Where am I? He comes out of the grave, comes out of the tomb. And what did Jesus do? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to leave him like that? Come on, Lazarus, let's go. We're going to get something to eat. Where are you going? You know? You can't do that. If they would have left him in his grave clothes, it would have really kind of put a damper on things for Lazarus for the rest of his life. Could you imagine him at his niece's birthday party? You know, he's sitting there. Who is that over? Oh, it's just Uncle Lazarus. That's ridiculous. You're not going to do that. What did Jesus tell them to do? Take off the grave clothes and set him free, because he's no longer in death. He's in life. The power of God reached down through time and eternity into that grave and filled that dead body with life. Can't leave. The grave clothes represent stuff. Those grave clothes represent stuff. It represents death. He was wrapped in the things of death. And we have a country full of walking dead people. I'm not talking about the AMC show either. My kids, we've never seen it. My son's like, And the thing is, I'm going to embarrass him now. I'm not going to tell you which one, but if he saw it, he wouldn't sleep the next night. I know he wouldn't. Zombie show. Can we watch it? No. Walking Dead. I don't know why people want to watch that, but I'm not talking about that kind of Walking Dead. I'm talking about we have a world filled. We have a country filled. There's a Jefferson County filled with Walking Dead. Their bodies are animated, but their spirits are dead. They're wrapped in grave clothes of sin, brokenness, failure, abortion, sexual promiscuity, broken relationship, just death all wrapped up around them, addictions, Walking Dead. And we recognize that, and we see that, and we go out and we do outreaches, and we do big Easter productions to get them to come in so they can see the story and they can find life, and we understand that. But this morning, what I feel like the Lord has challenged me with is that even in this room this morning, there's some of us that still have grave clothes attached to us. Remnants of death that have still latched onto our lives. And I believe what God has sent me here today is to say, you don't have to live this life with pieces of death attached to you, but in Christ Jesus you can find freedom, because it's for freedom that He set us free. This morning, if you walked into the house of the Lord and you've got a secret sin you're still struggling with, and it's maybe wrapped up over here, or you come in this morning and you're carrying a hurt or a burden that has kept you from truly being who God's called you to be, God wants to set you free from that today. He wants to remove those grave clothes and set us free. Grave clothes keep us from walking in true freedom. I think that's what Paul referred to when Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, or in verse 24, he's talking and he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" That picture, Paul was saying, what they would do in the Roman times is they would find someone who was wounded on a battlefield, who was still alive, they would tie them up face to face and hand to hand with a dead body and just leave them there to rot. This is the picture that Paul's painting, this body of death. I'm attached to death. Who's going to rescue me from the attachment? Paul was a man of God. Paul was an apostle of the Lord, but he still struggled with that remnant of death. He was talking about grave clothes that were still connected to him. Not physical, but figurative grave clothes. That sin, the remnants of death that will attempt to keep us from obeying and walking with God, that will try to steal from us the fulfillment, the freedom, the joy of living for the Lord. The words of Christ this morning, they echo in this room. Take off the grave clothes and set him free. Take off the grave clothes and set her free this morning. God wants us to have and to walk in freedom. Grave clothes represent the things that we used to do, the things that we know we shouldn't do when we are spiritually dead, our dead attitudes, our dead addictions, our dead behaviors, our dead religious traditions, our dead legalism, our dead sinful habits that have attached us and they steal and they suck the joy from us. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was 17 years old. It was October 20th, 1989. My little brother had gotten saved just a few weeks before I did. Now, see, I grew up going to church, but we went to a very religious church that no one talked about Jesus. I don't even know if we should really call it a church. It was a Sunday morning gathering. And so as a teenager, I was just kind of doing my own thing and running around and playing my own games and, you know, living for myself. And I got invited by this girl, this really cute girl. But my wife's cuter. Whew. All the guys, you feel me, right? That was close. I got invited to go to this church picnic, and I'm like, church picnic? I'm not afraid of church. Yeah, I'm going to go. So I got up on Saturday, and I'm heading out the door to this church picnic. It's a picnic, and my mom says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to a church picnic." I'm thinking, brownie points. And she goes, "Oh, good, take your brother." Oh. going to take my little brother. I'm like, oh, great, you know. And so we got in the car and we went to the church picnic, and I spent my whole time trying to impress this girl and got nowhere. My brother spent the whole time with this youth pastor, and he got Jesus. I didn't even get a kiss. Who got the better part of that deal? Well, my little brother began working on me. And my brother, Pastor Blaine knows my brother. My brother's just different. Yeah, look at that laugh. That's right. He's just different. And he's got different techniques. And of course, he was newly saved, but we're talking and I'm like, yeah, I got up one morning. Man, I didn't sleep really good last night. I had some weird dreams. He goes, you had weird dreams because you're a sinner. You're going to hell. That was his evangelism tactics. Pretty close to what it is today, but. And for the next 2 weeks, I was living in that environment. My brother was praying for me at church, and you know, and so on October 20th, 1989, I got in my car. I hadn't been under some oppression. I had suicidal thoughts. I was trying to figure out how to end my life that night. I even got in my little car. I had a 1989 Ford Festiva. You kind of wound up the rubber band, you know. I'm driving down the road, and there's a bridge coming up over this ravine into the Sturgeon River, and I'm driving, and I'm like, maybe I could just drive my car off. It'd be over just like that. So I'm driving along. Actually, it's more like putt, 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 putt. And at the last moment, I think to myself, oh, wait, my brother's at youth group. If I don't pick my brother up from youth group and bring him home, my mom will kill me. The devil was after me. I ended up at this little Assembly of God church, Joy Fellowship, on Old 27, Indian River, Michigan, a little tiny little building. And I walked in to the youth room, and they were all like, surprised I was there. And I'm like, what? Sat down. I don't even remember what they talked about. All I remember is I walked in, and I had such peace. All just joy. And that night, driving in my car. Actually, I stayed there for hours talking to this youth pastor. I said, well, what about this? And what about that? And he sat there. He was a youth pastor like Pastor Blaine who just sit there and take time for young people. And he talked to me for hours. And I got in my car and I'm driving home. I said, God, if you're real, I give you my life. God said, done. And in that moment, the grave clothes came off. And I was brought from death to life. I was set free. Who remembers your moment right now? Think back to your moment. Your moment of freedom. That moment of salvation. Wasn't it awesome? That moment when the God of the universe he put everything on pause and he came down and he gave you a brand new heart? It's awesome. Feels like it was just yesterday. But I want you to know, I still had some little remnants of grave clothes on me. I still had these pieces, you know, kind of stuck here and there. I've been saved now I'm not good with math, a long time. I want to be honest with you. I spent, out of the last 20 years, I spent 17 years in full-time ministry. And I'm still finding grave clothes. Y'all hear me this morning? But you're a preacher. You're not a preacher like Pastor Kent because he's perfect. It's crazy. I'll be sitting in the service and my pastor will be preaching and all of a sudden I'll just be like, man, I got it going on. I'm so good. And he'll be preaching and all of a sudden he'll read this verse and bam! It'll be like, oh, where'd that come from? And there's a grave, and there's another one! Folks, that's not, God doesn't want us to walk around like Lazarus. He wants us to find freedom. And this morning, if you're here and you're like, well, I'm okay, preacher. I got it all figured out. Sorry. None of us do. And this morning, before we leave, God's going to pull some grave cloths off of us. We're going to walk in some freedom. I want to give you just 3 or 4 quick observations, and then we're going to pray. And Pastor Blaney, you're going to come up and play, right? I want to give you 4 quick observations about grave clothes. Number one, grave clothes are not for the living. Grave clothes are not for the living. that sin that you still struggle with, or that failure that's haunting you, or that, guess what? You are intended for so much more. That's not for you. When the devil comes in and he whispers, and he points out things in our lives, you just rebuke him and say, I am a child of the King. I'm not perfect, but I am free. The devil wants to keep you all fooled up, all concentrated on your failures, and God wants you to walk in freedom. But here's the problem, is when we as believers get comfy in our grave clothes. When we're comfortable with our grave clothes, we're like, man, I love going to church, I'm a Christian, but I want to keep this right here wrapped around my leg because I kind of am comfortable. I'm used to that sin. I'm used to that struggle. I'm used to that thing. Folks, I want to tell you what. God intended and created you and set you free for freedom. Whatever that secret sin is you're hanging on to, God wants to set you free from that. He wants it to be gone. See, grave clothes, in any extent, keep us from truly being alive in Christ. We have death attached to us. The battle with grave clothes is the battle with the things that God says bring death. Grave clothes are not for the living. This morning, if you're here this morning and you're just still carrying around your grave clothes, they're not for you. God wants to set you free. Second observation. Sometimes we leave grave clothes on to hide what we don't want others to see. We let these grave clothes, we leave them there, and we kind of, yeah, this is my issue, because we don't want to deal with them and live in authenticity. Living with grave clothes is living without authenticity. Grave clothes, they keep us bound up, and they keep us from dealing with what's underneath. The third thing is grave clothes. We can't remove them by ourselves. Did you see that in the story? When Lazarus came out, he's all bound up. Jesus didn't say, Lazarus, come forth. Now take off those stinky grave clothes. Because he's like, oh, God! He's all in bondage. He's all bound up. He needed the other people to run over and start, I won't take your shirt off, Pastor. But, well, come over and start yanking and pulling and getting those things out. Listen, believers, we're not supposed to deal with our issues all by ourselves. We're not supposed to keep and hide those things and try to deal with them by ourselves. We need each other. But what's happened in too many churches, Pastor, is Christians end up, you know, eating their wounded. Ended up, so we don't share with one another, and we keep these things, and we keep them in our lives, and we try to deal with them ourselves, but we can't get grave clothes all by ourselves. We need other believers around us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I tell you what. There's someone here this morning. You've been sitting under the man of God's preaching for years. How long have you been here? You've been sitting here for 24 years. And he's been preaching every week, his guts out. And the Holy Spirit's been moving. And there's that one thing in your life that God keeps bringing it up, but you don't want to share it with anybody. And as a consequence, you haven't been able to get rid of it. The devil loves to keep things in darkness. You want to see some freedom? Bring it something to the light. Bring it to another believer. Have people pray with you. We need each other. None of us are meant to do life alone. We need one another. You can't take your own grave clothes off. There's something interesting in the passage. Lazarus couldn't remove his own grave clothes. He needed others to help him. Jesus commanded others to help him. Some of you in this room, maybe you've been through and you're walking around and you're okay and you're walking in freedom. Your job is to help other people. Slow down and take your time. I hate when we go to church and we walk, hey brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Okay, shoo. I've committed that when people ask me that, I'm going to tell them. Hey Al, how you doing? Not so good. Had a bad week this week. Or you know what? I'm doing really good right now, but I'm afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow at work, and I got this and this and that. Authenticity. Slow down, people, and take time to minister to others. God tells us, take the grave clothes off. Jesus commanded some to help remove the grave clothes, to help remove his connection with death. You know what? This could be a picture of discipleship, Pastor. Helping grow other people. We need each other. It's like you take a tree, plant it out in the middle of the field by itself. How far is it to the prairies? Y'all looking at me like prairies? Don't they have prairies in Kansas? Don't they have lots of grass? My kids were driving up here and they're like, Dad, where's the prairies and the buffalo? Alright, they didn't say buffalo, but. Imagine this tree out in this hillside all by itself standing there and a storm comes along and the winds are blowing and the lightning's crashing and the storm's pushing this tree over. Well, you take that same tree and you put it in a forest and it leans over against other trees and it's going to stand strong. Folks, we need each other. You need someone to help you remove your grave clothes. And they need to help you. What did I say? Hi, my name's Al. I'm just a guy. We need each other. That's what I was trying to say. I need your help to get rid of my grave clothes and you need my help to get rid of yours. We need each other. The fourth observation about grave clothes is those grave clothes are going to keep us from truly serving completely. You know, Lazarus would never be effective at reaching people for Jesus in the future if he stayed in his grave clothes. First of all, everyone would see him and go, ah, and they'd run away. They'd be freaked out by this mummy walking around. Then also, how can you wash someone's feet when you can't even get your hands up? He couldn't kneel. You can't serve when you're wrapped up in grave clothes. And see, church, all of us are called to be involved in ministry in some capacity. We've got to get rid of our grave clothes in order to do that. Pastor Blaine, would you come on up here? I don't know how effective I've been at communicating God's amazing message this morning. But the way God spoke it in my head was really, really good. And I get in the way sometimes. But here's the word. Our God, our King, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, is speaking to us, to you, to me, saying, come from death to life. I want to give you freedom. This morning, there may be somebody, I don't know everybody, I don't know most of you, actually. Only just a couple, actually. So I don't know where you're at with God. And you may be here this morning and your mom made you come or grandma guilted you into it. Your husband or your wife threatened, I'm not making dinner this afternoon if you don't come to church. I don't know. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you've never asked him into your life, this morning God is speaking to you and he's saying, hey, come forth. I want to give you freedom. I want to give you peace and joy. I want to fill your heart with that empty spot. That empty place inside you and trying to put all kinds of stuff in there. But it still remains empty. I want to fill that. See, we all have a space inside of us. And it's shaped like Jesus. I remember when my youngest son, Trey, was a little bitty guy. We got him one of those games. It's like a ball, and it's got shapes all around it. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, the square ones go in the square hole, and that's for kids to learn their shapes. But my son over here, he's going to be so mad about me calling him out, but he's stubborn. He's my stubborn one. And he decided at 2 years old, he was not going, it didn't fit. Here's a square peg, and there's a round hole, and it didn't fit. So he's beating on that thing, trying to get it to fit. And of course, me being the twisted dad I am, I'm just watching. Rather than going over there and showing him, I'm like, what's he going to do? He's beating on that. Finally, he sets it down, sets the lock on there, and he walks away. And he gets in his toy room. I hear him in there fiddling around the toy box. He comes walking out, and he's dragging his wiffle ball bat. And he goes over, bam, 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 he starts beating on it. It never did fit. There's a shape inside of you. There's a place, there's a spot that God of the universe is meant to fill. And you'll never be satisfied until He does. This morning, God wants to take you from death to life, from darkness to light. He wants to remove the grave clothes and see you set free. And in just a moment, if you're here this morning and you need to do that, we're going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to be inviting the pastors to come up and the board members. We're going to give you an opportunity to have someone pray for you this morning. Like, well, I don't know. Listen, you can't take grave clothes off by yourself. You need the family of God to come around you and be, let them pray for you this morning. And this morning can be a brand new start for you. Now I want to talk to the rest of us, because I have a feeling the majority of us in here are probably believers. And this morning, what I hope the Holy Spirit has done is revealed to you some grave clothes in your own life. You may have been a believer for ever. You were born and then you were saved. You've been here 40 years and you've been a believer that long. But I tell you what, this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit's kind of reaching down the way He does, and He's going, hey, this right here, you still have this. I want to help you get rid of it. And there may be some of you this morning, you're struggling. You've been struggling with something in secret and in darkness, and you've been carrying this burden, and it's got you all bound up. And you know there's more to a relationship with God than what you have. And this morning you're like, that's me, and I want that freedom. I'm here to tell you today, God wants to set you free. It's for freedom that He set us free. He wants you to walk in freedom and live in freedom. That burden, He doesn't want you to have to carry it anymore. And this morning, we're going to take a few moments and we're going to pray for freedom in your life. And don't you dare sit there in your seat this morning and let your pride go. But if I get up, people will know I've got a problem. Guess what, folks? We already know you got a problem. Because you got problems and I got problems. All God's people got problems. There, we said it. So when it comes time to pray, get up and come and pray and get freedom this morning. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from secret sin. That thing you've been looking at the internet, stop! I can't. God can set you free. You've been gossiping to other people. You have this habit of gossiping. Knock it off! I can't. God can set you free. Whatever it is. If it's depression, if it's addiction, whatever it is, if it's little bitty bitty or great big, God wants to set you free this morning. Rip the grave clothes off. I want to pray. While I'm praying, if Pastor and your leaders could come up. Father God, I come before You right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank You for the opportunity of being in Your house with Your people. And for the opportunity this morning to share, but God, it's not about what I say. It's about what Your Holy Spirit does. And I pray, Father God, right now in Jesus' name, that Lord, people in this room, Father God, who have got grave clothes wrapped all around them today, Father God, today they'll find freedom. Today they'll find healing, Father God. Today they'll be let loose, Lord God. They'll be able to walk in joy, Father God. Today is their day. You want to move in their life, God. God, I pray for freedom today. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, right now in their seat, Father God, begin working in their heart, Lord. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that today will be a day that, Father God, they can put a thumbtack in, and for the rest of the history of their life, they'll look back and they'll say that that was a day that I found freedom. Let today be that day, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, not because there's anything magical about that, but so that you have just this private moment for just a second. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Al? I've not gone from darkness to light. I'm still in the darkness. I've not yet asked Christ into my life. Or maybe you're here and maybe at one point you did, but because of a series of choices, you walked away from God. And today you'd say, I want to start my walk with God today. Today I hear God calling out to me, come forth, and I'm ready to come forth. If that's you today, would you raise your hand up right now? Say, that's me. I need Jesus. Or I need to start again with Jesus. Is there somebody? Yeah, I see your hand. Anyone else today? You say, that's me. I need Jesus, or I need a fresh start with God today. Anybody else? Yeah, I see your hand. Anybody else this morning? Now for the rest of us. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor Al, I've got grave clothes in my life. And I realize this morning, by the touch of the Holy Spirit, that I need freedom. I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of struggling with this. I need freedom today. And if God is offering freedom, then that's all for me. And I respond today in the name of Jesus. This is what I want us to do. I want everyone to stand this morning. Everybody stand across this place. Everyone on your feet. Father God, I pray that the next few moments, that Lord God, there would be freedom in this place, Lord God. Miracles would take place. This morning you're here, you say, Pastor Al, I need that freedom. Raise your hand right now where you're at. Raise it up. You say, I need freedom. Yep, I need freedom. Yep, I need freedom. Now I'm going to ask you to do the next thing. I'm going to ask you to come down here and join with these other believers to have, you can't take the grave clothes off by yourself. You need help. I want you to step out of your seat right now. Come to the front and we're going to have a prayer time for you this morning. Come on, step out of your seat right now. If you raise your hand and you said that you would like to have Jesus in your heart, come down here and find one of these this morning. If you said, I've got grave clothes in my life and I need to be free, step out and come right now in the name of Jesus, and we're going to pray for you this morning. Come on, family, let's pray.